Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests, like Mama Momo on a Wednesday, appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Momo, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm actually really good because I woke up and saw a text from Jeff Passan saying, hearing that the Dodgers and Mookie have a big extension. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then pretty quick, Jeff confirmed it all up that Mookie Betts, this whole like 60 games of Mookie is, and then he hits the open market, is not going to be the end all be all for Mookie and the Dodgers. That was like a very exciting thing to wake up to this morning.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. I mean, it's look, I think it was the Dodgers fans and every fan in LA's biggest fear, right? That he wouldn't be around. That you traded Alex Verdugo and a bunch of prospects for a guy who may not even play because of the pandemic. So the fact that this is happening, the fact that Mookie Betts, who's arguably the best player in the sport, okay, who is a guy who, according to our ESPN panelists, as far as our Major League Baseball experts, was picked second in the MVP voting behind Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves. That's the type of player you've got. You've literally got two MVP candidates, a Cy Young candidate, and if the Dodgers bring him back up, a Rookie of the Year candidate in Gavin Lux. So, like, this team is as stacked can get, and just locking him in makes you feel good about not only the present but the future of this particular franchise.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, we've seen the Dodgers go after big free agents in the past and not get them because they weren't willing to go that extra, you know, 9th or 10th or 11th or 12th or 13th year in the case of Bryce Harper. They got him. Like, they did it. They got him to sign. Like, and I think what I've gathered from just the limited conversations we've had with Dodger players this year is that, you know, Mookie Betts isn't just a great player. He's a clubhouse leader. He's the kind of guy you want to build your franchise around. Like, he's immediately taken on, you know, a real leadership role in that clubhouse. And I think for the right guy, you don't think twice about spending that money. You just do it.
Yeah, of course. Now, are you worried about the 10-year deal type stuff?
You always, I mean, yeah, always. Right? Like, always. That's a really long-term deal. I never think those work out well. I mean, I learned my lesson. George, back in a previous life when I was more of a general columnist, I remember going to a press conference at Angel Stadium when Albert Pujols signed his 10-year, $250 million deal or whatever the numbers were. Right. And I thought this was the best deal. I mean, I wrote, the Angels have finally got their man. Like, they always miss on free agents, but if you're going to get somebody, you get Albert Pujols, and he's going to break all of baseball's hallowed records with the Angels. And, you know, this is what Artie Moreno's been waiting for. And I have obviously learned my lesson that that is not, the 10 years is not as, is a great investment, because especially when you are not really sure how somebody's going to age or if they're a little bit older. Like, Pujols had not even one good season before he started getting hurt. And he started getting plantar fasciitis and all these other things. And, like, yeah, he's broken some records and he's had, you know, statistically some good years, but, like, it hasn't translated into any kind of increased winning for the Angels, and it hasn't been what they paid all that money for.
No, absolutely not. It hasn't worked out. So, look, I also think he was a little older, too, no, than Mookie was at this point. So I think that
and maybe
some,
even older than we think.
right. That's true. My people, we do lie about our age a lot. There is that. Like, I remember El Duque Hernandez, who pitched for the Yankees amongst a couple of other clubs, including the White Sox. He, you know, my dad, when he was alive, used to tell me whenever a Duque came, I guess they said he was like 30 something or whatever. And my dad's like, there's no way he's only 30. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to be at least 35 or 36 years old. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that there has been a history of that. More so guys, though, who come from the islands initially.
He was 32 when he signed that 10-year deal with the Angels. 32.
Right. Right. And Mookie's 27. So there's a 5-year difference there.
And
there
is 32. That. Let's put some air quotes around that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Probably. Yeah. ish.
Yeah. 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 So I just think, you know, you're looking at a guy, Momo, who, again, as I mentioned, arguably the best player in the sport. And the Dodgers, as you've mentioned, have been so close to doing this and then didn't pull the trigger, right? They didn't keep Manny Machado after making the deal for Manny Machado, right? Like, they've been in on mm-hmm. all these type of guys. And now they've got the guy. Like, do you feel more confident today? Now, granted, I know we all would prefer for them to win this year in this crazy 60-game scramble. Because you want them to win the World Series because they've been so close so many times. But does this make you feel good about their prospects just in general? Like, when you talk about the type of cornerstones that they have, even in their pitching rotation, like, for as great as Kershaw's been, like, and you want them to win one for Kershaw, I mean, Walker Buehler could be the Cy Young this year. Like, they've got this yeah. thing on lock where I feel very confident to say that barring... I was going to say a catastrophe, like kind of like the one we're dealing with. But
yeah.
But barring something just insane happening in the next several years, the expectation is they're going to win one, right?
That's the expectation. I mean, look, I sat down with Andrew Friedman the first spring training that he got this job, George. Okay. You're a gambling guy, so you'll love this analogy. And he was trying to explain to me his philosophy on baseball and how you build a championship contender, et cetera. He said, essentially, we want to be Vegas, right? The idea mm-hmm. for the Dodgers is they want to be Vegas. And eventually, you may not win every year. There may be people who come to Vegas and get lucky and take money home. But over the long haul, if we build casinos, if we build in these games and we do them the right way, the odds are ever in our favor. Like, the house is going to win. The yeah, house is going correct. To eventually win. And their idea is, if we do this smartly, if we build the best 40-man roster we can build, if we continue to make smart decisions and decisions you can defend with analytics, you can defend with scouting, you can defend just on based on knowing the kind of person you are giving this type of money to. If we do everything right and we have unlimited resources so that when we need to spend, we will, the house should win. You'll give yourself enough cracks at it, enough chances where you get close to, where you get to the playoffs, you get in the playoffs, you have the right guys there. One of these years, you're going to win.
Right.
And I like the thinking. Like, the idea is, just get to the playoffs every year is kind of, whoever gets hot at the right time, whoever makes big plays, big pitches, whatever it is, I now think that the Dodgers would have won a World Series in 2017 if the Astros weren't cheating. Now that we go back and look at some yeah. of those games.
Oh, my God. It's funny you say that, Mumbo. I literally was watching something on the internet yesterday that somebody posted about that Game 5. Yeah. The Kershaw game where he had the 4-run lead and then ended up going into extra innings. Yeah. It was like 12 runs or whatever it was for each side. Mm-hmm. And that was the whistle game. Do you know what?
The
you remember
whistle
that?
Game. No.
Yeah, where they were whistling from the dugout and they were the way they would whistle from the dugout. Now, they would do it in unison. The whistle game was, for example, I don't remember if this is exactly how it went, but let's say if they were looking for, if they knew a fastball was coming, right? Mm-hmm. They would just do a regular whistle. They'd go, right? Like, they would do that. But let's say they knew like a changeup was coming. They would do a whistle like the song, like the Charge song. They would all go in unison right before the pitch. And so the batter knew that a wow. changeup was coming. So it was on the internet yesterday. So it's funny that you bring that up because I was watching that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it was incredible. They did it off of Kershaw. They did it off of who else pitched that game? I know Kenley pitched that game towards the end.
Yep.
God, there was another pitcher who pitched in the middle of that. I mean, there were like four or five pitchers who yeah. pitched there. But anyway, you could see in the video, and clearly the video was highlighting the whistling from the dugout. And every time they would do these certain whistles, it was that kind of pitch. So it's incredible to see that they knew what was coming. And the Dodgers were absolutely robbed because if they win that game, and they should have, they have at least a 3-2 lead. They finish the series in six. and it would have been over, and they would have had the championship.
Yeah, and think about a guy like Brandon Morrow, okay, the reliever who pitched in, I think he pitched in every single game that series. I remember he came when they came back to Dodger Stadium, they actually presented him with, they actually asked for his glove or his cleats, something like that, because they were going to the Hall of Fame. He had broken the record for, you know, consecutive, the most number of innings pitched in the World Series, like appearances in a World Series. This is, you know, this is going in the Hall of Fame, Brandon. Think about that, like Kenley, when we had him on our show, right? He came on and said, I've thought about that all the time, and all, you know, the pitches that I made. Yeah, game two, Marwan Gonzalez hits a home run off him. He was like, that was just a bad pitch. I left it up. He put a good swing on. But those other games where he is throwing pitches that he knows, like, how he's like, how are they taking that? How are they taking that ball right there?
Right, right. Kenta Maeda was the other pitcher in the video that was – that gave up some big home runs, and it was just like incredible that they were able to hit the pitches that he threw. So yeah, to your point, they've been close. They were robbed. But this, I feel like this move here solidifies their chances to, I think, as you pointed out, the house always wins. Eventually the money will land on their side of the coin, right? Their hand will win because they've got the best hand. And eventually, if you keep getting the best hand, you're going to win. Like, that's the way life works. And because sometimes crazy things happen, like I've played poker a million times in my life and I've gotten aces cracked, you know, and it just doesn't happen that often, but it happens. And it feels like the Dodgers have had that Astros series is absolutely their aces got cracked. Now, they were clearly cheating, but that's what happened. So now I feel like they're even stronger now than they were back then. So the chances of them not getting one, thanks to this potential massive signing with Mookie Betts and locking him in and having Bellinger and Walker Buehler and this entire group that they have, man, it just feels like Andrew Friedman has built a team not only to last, but potentially to win at least a championship, if not more.
Yeah, for years to come.
Right.
Like, that's the idea. The whole thing that Stan Kasten, when he came over from the Atlanta Braves, was trying to build for the Dodgers is a model, like much like they did in Atlanta.
Correct.
Where
yeah.
you have a deep farm system you have that you can always use to replenish your major league roster with new young stars, but also to use in trades when you need to acquire somebody at the deadline, and that you contend for years and years and years. And you know, while Stan was there in Atlanta, the Braves were in the World Series a lot of times.
14 straight division titles.
14 straight.
Yeah,
that's a lot. The Dodgers have 7, so they're halfway there. I mean, you know, you don't. It doesn't always work. Sometimes you build something and. You know, a young pitcher you were counting on to be a stalwart, it just doesn't pan out, gets injured. A young player, you know, doesn't pan out, gets injured, whatever it is. And then you're set back for a few years because you were counting on that person to do a big job for you. But they have set themselves up. And like, if this deal, what I've seen reported several different places, 10 years, something like 10 years, $350 million.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about astronomical numbers. But that's actually not as much as I thought it was going to have to be. Like, if Mookie Betts hits free agency, you know, maybe we're talking more about the Mike Trout kind of deal. Maybe we're talking more about Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
In terms of the length of the deal, the total number of dollars. It just feels like they're even getting a pretty good deal on that.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly if that's the thing. But again, the economics will probably change in sports across the board, right? Because of the pandemic and not having fans and things of that nature. Momo hanging out with us as she does every Wednesday, giving us the Straight Talk. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk. Get the same networks as the big carriers. Pay only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The other thing, Momo, that's going on, and we'll get back to the Dodgers here in a second, because I'm curious to hear from the audience, too, about this potential Mookie Betts signing and how excited they are and what they feel about the signing and what it means for the future of the Dodgers. But there's been a big topic of discussion on our debate shows on ESPN here, and it's about the NBA bubble. And that a coach came out and said, recently to Vinnie Goodwill of Yahoo Sports that there's no question in his mind, anonymous coach said, that a super team will sprout from the bubble. Now, Momo, we know that, you know, look, I know that Dwayne Wade and LeBron and Chris Bosh have denied this, but there are very many people that believe that that team was, in essence, the initial part of that team was formed in Beijing, right?
Yeah.
When they were playing in the Olympics. You know, Jackie McMullen talked about yesterday on Around the Horn about Kyrie and Kevin Durant being on some sort of cruise together. And that's where that Nets team was formed. And look, we clearly know about, you know, all these other super teams, right, that have been formed over the last several years, including the Warriors, right? Draymond had kind of formed a bond with Kevin Durant before even all the Hamptons meetings and things like that. Do you believe, Mama Momo, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, that the next super team will be formed in the Orlando bubble?
Yeah, I mean, I think the chances are good. The top four teams in each conference are all staying at the Destino down there.
The Grand Destino, don't knock
it. The Grand Destino. They're all staying at the same hotel. Now, I think you're not allowed to go in anybody else's room or even have dinner with people yet.
Not yet.
Are you allowed to have dinner yet?
No, well, Giannis said yesterday that he was able to now go fishing with his brothers and stuff like that, that he's been doing some of that. And he's been able to see them in the common areas.
Okay.
But that my guess is what you're referring to will come soon.
Yeah. And I think that you definitely can't see people from other hotels. You can only see people at your hotels, which means the best players on the best teams are all hanging out together for 3 months. I don't know. Things happen.
Yeah,
I think things happen.
Yeah. All right, let's get more into that on the other side. And then also, I want to get into the Major League Baseball season. We'll take people's calls on Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts looks like he's going to be a Dodger for a really long time. What are your thoughts on the Dodgers right now, on this season? What are your thoughts on their future now moving forward? 877-710-ESPN. And also, the biggest challenge to managers and their strategy in Major League Baseball this season with only 60 games. We are back in 1 minute and 45 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out as she does every Wednesday, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home, car, insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. By the way, happy birthday, Keyshawn, today. Even though he's left us for greener pastures, I still wish him a very, very, very happy birthday. 48, Momo, for Keyshawn.
Do you feel like you deserve some of the credit for the success that is Keyshawn?
No, like, I don't deserve any credit for Keyshawn being.
I mean, because when he first started at our radio station, like I hosted shows with him early on, and he was like good, but like there were moments where he was super distracted playing on his phone. And we'd get into like basketball and he was like not interested because it wasn't football. So like, early on. So like when he first started, I was like, oh, I don't know about this Keyshawn in the morning. We were taking bets of like how many days he would call out. He would just say like, I'm not.
I remember that. I do remember everyone saying that.
How long is Keyshawn going to go before he's like, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. every day. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Wednesday off. I'm going to take Thursday off. Like, we took that guy and made him into a star morning radio host who's now going to be doing a national morning radio show.
I love it. I think it's
great. You got to take some credit there, George. You were the first host that kind of broke him into radio.
Boy, did I try to break him, that's for sure. So, I think even he would admit that. Listen, I think he and I, it's funny, we have evolved over time having this fun relationship where we butted heads a lot. And I think it was that. We did have to kind of, but to his credit, Momo, he was always the first one for all the bets that everyone had. I remember always telling Mason and Ireland were big, particularly on making those bets.
Yeah.
And I would tell them, you know, he is the first one in the room every single morning.
Mm.
To the office. So he always had the right attitude for it. And shuttered all that conversation or all that talk very quickly. Like he just,
when did he get there? You guys were on from 6 to 10. When would he get there?
Man, I'd usually get there. Rodge's always the first because he was, you know, he's the producer of the show. So he'd be there like at 4:30. Key would get there about 5, you know, maybe a little before or after. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Because I would get there anywhere between like 5:15 and 5:30. LZ around, and I usually used to get there at the same time. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he was always the first one. It was never even a debate. He was always sitting there reading his newspaper like an 80-year-old man, you know, when I would arrive.
Yeah, Beetle was like that. When I did a radio show with her, she would get there like, I would show up. It wasn't that early. I think we were on from 7 to 9 or 9 to 11. I can't remember. Whatever it was breakfast time. And I would show up and she was always getting this like, she would get there early. She was Sunday morning and she would be watching Meet the Press and eating a big breakfast burrito from the JW Marriott. And I'm like, who knew? Like, what are you doing? Okay.
Meet
the Press.
Some people are, you know, the early bird gets the worm. So happy birthday, Keyshawn. We're looking forward to Keyshawn's new show debuting here on August 17th here on this station. All right, Momo, a lot of people want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts signing. If you're just tuning in, Jeff Passan reporting that it is imminent. The Dodgers will lock up Mookie Betts for a long-term deal. 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to James in Riverside. James, what's up, man? Are you excited?
Of course I'm excited. We get to have one of the best players in baseball and hopefully have him for a decade. That's awesome. For me, it's great to see Dodgers go with a guy who's going to help establish some of these young guys coming up, because I go to many Rancho Cucamonga Quakes games, the high A team, and I see nothing but talent come up ever since I was watching Seager go up there. I'm part of the booster club there. I see these guys all the time, and they have nothing but loaded young guys totally coming up, and having someone like Betts that could be there for a decade to help these guys establish themselves even more would just make the Dodgers a dynasty going forward for another next 10, maybe 12 years.
James, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, buddy. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Momo, he's right, because at 27, he's veteran enough, obviously, and has a track record of unbelievable success to be kind of the leader in the clubhouse. And he also has already tried to establish that within this particular construct, even though it's strange it's been for everyone on any team, including the Dodgers. But he's young enough to also relate to the younger guys that are coming up. It really is an interesting point.
Plus, they know that he is a winner because he beat them. Right? Like, if you need any more credibility, then as this is how you win a championship and this is the way you go about things. All you have to do is look back to 2018 when the Red Sox demolished the Dodgers in the World Series and Mookie Betts was the guy. Like, you know, it doesn't take much more than that to establish rapport. And I think just early on, there was no breaking in period. He immediately started holding guys accountable and taking on that leadership role. And that's saying something when, you know, you're walking into a clubhouse with the reigning NL MVP, Cody Bellinger, who's, you know, a leader, but he's a lot younger. And maybe that, you know, he's still got a few more years to grow into that role. But for Mookie to just come in and immediately become that kind of a voice and leader for the Dodgers is pretty incredible.
Momo, I want to ask you a question, because Pedro Gomez was on ESPN Radio yesterday, our pal, and he was asked about how challenging it will be for managers to strategize over this 60-game sprint. And that's what it is, in essence, right? Like, it is a 60-game sprint. It's the reason Gavin Lux was sent down yesterday. We talked about it. It was very simply, you know, he had an okay spring, not great. He didn't beat out the guys in front of him. And clearly, they're going to trust the veteran guys who have been there through the, you know, toughest times and the challenging moments for them, including the playoffs. But there will be an interesting strategy to this, right? Like, I think that strategy will be potentially different. Here's what Pedro said on ESPN Radio yesterday.
Look, there's only so much that they can do other than play the game. So, yes, you're going to try to win, obviously, every single night. You're not going to really punt any games like you would in a regular season where, you know, you're down 8-1 in the sixth inning. You might say, okay, we're not putting any of our frontline relievers in the rest of the game. We're going to just have somebody come in to eat up innings, and we'll wait for tomorrow. It's going to be different in that sense that there won't be any giveaways, so to speak. And, you know, a 30-man roster to start the season for the first couple of weeks, it allows you to use many more pitchers. But don't forget, we have the new rule where each pitcher has to face at least three batters.
Right.
So you're not going to have that lefty-lefty, righty-righty type thing that you normally would have. I mean, there are different rules this year as well being incorporated. So it's here's what I would say. A 7-game losing streak is the equivalent of about a 19-game losing streak in a 60-game season. So you've got to really try to eliminate any type of a losing streak.
So, Momo, I do think to his point, to Pedro's point, is that there, the bullpens particularly, the way you handle the pitching staffs, I think that will be the biggest difference that you'll see this year as opposed to previous seasons.
Well, I forgot about the new rules. It's so weird to wrap your head around some of the new rules. You have to face at least, what is it, two batters? Three batters?
Three batter minimum for every relief pitcher.
I mean, that in and of itself was going to be a huge change in baseball. Because so many guys literally get paid to face one batter. Like the lefty reliever that you bring out of the bullpen to just get that tough lefty hitter out. Like that's a job description. And now, you know, you're going to see lineups being created to you know, get away from that. Where you're going to have, you're never going to have three lefties in a row. You'll go lefty, righty, lefty, or lefty, righty, righty. Just so that, you know, those type of pitchers are mitigated a bit. Like the lefty reliever you can't hit doesn't matter that much against a right-hander.
Right. You're going to have to face guys no matter what. And it does absolutely change. So it's funny, ESPN conducted a GM survey. They surveyed like half the GMs in the sport. They were able to get like 13 to 15 GMs. And they asked them specific questions, okay? And it's about the three rule changes. And the three rule changes are the universal DH. And they asked them, they asked them a very specific question. Which rule do you like the most? And which rule do you like the least? Okay. The three rule changes, universal DH, extra innings, which is, you know, batter on second base to start the 10th inning. And then the three batter minimum for pitchers, for relief pitchers. Which of those three rules do you think the GMs loved the most?
The most universal DH.
It was not even close. You're 100% right. The thing they loved the most. You hear that, Greg Bergman? The thing that GMs in Major League Baseball loved the most, the National League GMs, okay, were surveyed here. The thing they loved the most, the universal DH. 11 said it was the thing they loved the most. Greg Bergman, do you have any thoughts on the matter after 11 GMs basically said you're wrong?
Those 11 GMs are wrong. I think that's all that matters in all of this.
I mean, good Lord, this guy. I mean, thank you, Laura. Thank you. Yeah, Greg, take the L.
Nope, never. I will never take an L on this.
I mean, this guy, Ramona, he just will not let this universal DH thing go.
You know, I do have to respect Greg, though, in the face of all evidence, in the face of widely held opinions by people who are far more qualified than he. He stands by his convictions. It's good. I'm impressed, Greg. God,
I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this, though. That you only said 11 GMs. That's 19 other GMs.
No. They only surveyed 13
NL GMs.
Yeah. And by the way,
damn.
Yeah. They only. I'm sorry. No, it was 15. It was the. They just surveyed the NL GMs in this thing. So 11.
Four.
11 said, no, two abstained. They were like, indifferent.
Dang it.
Two were indifferent, and two said they liked it the least. So only two are on your side.
GMs, what do they know?
The thing about GMs, I'll tell you why they like this the most, is because they're always worried about their pitchers getting hurt while hitting.
Correct. Yeah.
So they don't, any rule that's going to help protect pitchers where you don't have a pitcher who pulls his hammy running to first, who gets cold as they're a base runner and stuck on second, having to lead off, and, you know, return to the base over and over and over. And like GMs hate that. Like that messes up with the pitcher's start, that messes up with the rhythm, their potential like oblique injuries, hamstring pulls. Yeah, of course they want to do away with pitchers hitting.
Yeah. All right. So the other three rules, here's how it voted out. As far as the extra innings rule, two GMs in the National League said they loved it the most. Five said they loved it the least. The rest just abstained. They were just like, whatever. Yeah. And then the three batter minimum. Nine said it was their least favorite thing.
Yeah.
Zero said it was the most. Zero. Yeah. So that was the thing they hated the most. All right. Coming up next, we're going to go to the bubble, Momo. So the greatest social media follow right now is at NBA Bubble on Twitter and on Instagram. And our buddy Nick DiPaola, who works at ESPN, our sneaker guru, he's behind the whole thing. The thing that has caught the most fire on social media these days is developed by one of our guys. We had no idea until yesterday when he was on The Jump. He's going to join us to talk NBA bubble in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're trying to connect with Nick DiPaola, but we're having some cell connection issues. We're giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Momo, you and I were talking about, speaking of the bubble, you know, towards the end of the first segment, we kind of started to get into the conversation about the next super team maybe being created in the bubble. And look, let's face it. You brought up the point that the top four seeds in each conference are staying at the Grand Destino. But if there's anyone anyone's going to tamper with, or at least try, it's Giannis, right? Like, that's who you're... Like, all of a sudden, if you see the Antetokounmpo brothers fishing, all of a sudden it's like, howdy, neighbor, I decided to fish too. Oh, it's LeBron and AD. They decided to fish too. Yeah. Oh, it's Jimmy Butler and Bam. They decided to go fishing too. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, everyone's going to be trying to fish when the Antetokounmpo brothers are fishing, you know?
Like, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I assign a staffer to be with Giannis at all times.
Yeah.
I want somebody surrounding Giannis. You probably can't have more than one because that's creepy. But at least one staffer, a security, a press person, a trainer. You stay next to Giannis. Like, it's almost, you have to follow him and observe everyone who's talking to them. And then, you know, maybe you have to record it. If you see some tampering going on, you got to get a boom mic.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to protect Giannis.
Well, remember when Kawhi, and we're, it looks like Nick DiPaola is going to join us here in a second, but remember when Kawhi was working out in the summer with KD and LeBron mm-hmm. and different guys? There was a Raptors person with him. Now, that didn't help any, but there was definitely a Raptors person there during those workouts in the summer. Do we have Nick or did we lose him? We lost him? All right, then, yeah, forget it. If his phone's not working out so well, then we could try to, you know, bring him on some other time. But Momo, that at bubble life, at NBA bubble life on Instagram and on Twitter, it is the most amazing thing ever. So the fact that we found out that we actually know the people behind it is pretty awesome.
Well, it's four friends. I'll just read it to you from the New York Times article that kind of outed them. And I don't know if it's outed them or just maybe this is who, you know, it wasn't a big secret, I guess, but it's sort of just been fun for all of us to follow. It's Nick DiPaola, who writes about the shoes for ESPN.
Right. He's the sneaker guru. Right.
Yeah. Wells Phillips, who works in marketing for the Los Angeles Tourism and Convention Board. Trayvon Edwards, a podcast host for The Athletic and an elementary school teacher in Scottsdale. And Drew Ruiz, a staffer for the Drew League, the LA-based basketball association, who has also written for Slam Magazine.
Right.
And so they were like hanging out. They're friends. They talk all the time.
Well, we have Nick. Let's have Nick finish the rest of the story. Nick DiPaola joining us here now. So Nick, finish the story. What the hell? How'd you guys make this? How'd you get this thing going? It's hilarious.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? So pretty much we have a group chat, as you would expect, that talks about basketball and sneakers or clock all the time. And I think it was about 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, and this was the Thursday that all the teams had just arrived. Mm. So some teams were still in quarantine. They were just kind of in that 48-hour window. And I just had this idea that everybody would kind of love to see a one-stop shop of all the stuff going on in the bubble. And so that's kind of the starting point. And then Drew, that kind of thing with the timing, he had actually just left Slam the week before. Trey is a teacher, so he's on summer break. So it was one of those things where, you know, and obviously we've all been diligent about staying home too. So we just had a lot of time at that point and just figured let's launch it. And as you can see, things kind of escalated quickly.
So what do you do? Do you have alerts for every NBA player who is in the bubble? And then from certain shifts or something, you go on and post? Like, you curate them?
Well, we kind of just started another Instagram account with the same name.
Uh-huh.
All guys on all 22 teams in the bubble, and then team social people, and pretty much everybody's posting on their Instagram story. And then we're getting a lot of gems from Hassan Whiteside on Snapchat. You know, we kind of just refresh and then post there. And I would say Drew pretty much runs the lead on the morning, and then I'm under at night too.
Nick DiPaola joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. George Sedano, Ramona Shelburne with you. Now, Nick, let me ask you this. Like, when you guys came up with this and it became this hit, like, how quickly did you know, oh, we struck gold with this thing?
Well, definitely when J.J. Redick was getting asked about the shotgun challenge in the press conference after practice, which I think was that Sunday morning, because he was golfing on Saturday and their water faucet was basically out of service. And so he posted a photo of a Bud Light, and Drew had the idea of challenging him to see what it would take to shotgun it. And that's kind of where it spiraled from there. And then we also posted a video of Ben Simmons. I'm sure you guys saw where he's throwing the fish back into the water. Unfortunately, misses, and it ricochets like 5 times off the deck. And that video, I think, got 1.5 million views. So in a matter of like 48 hours, it was pretty much taking off. And we had a bunch of like team accounts and players that were all following it. And that was kind of the best part.
Oh, I think we've lost Nick again. Yeah, I think we've lost him. Nick, we're going to let you go, brother. We appreciate it. You keep breaking up, but we'll definitely keep tabs on it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll definitely keep tabs on it. At NBA Bubble Life is where you find it on Twitter, on Instagram. Nick DiPaola, one of our colleagues, friend here on the program and at the network. If you're not following it, you're just not doing it right. Like, let's be real, right? Yeah. That's the best way to describe it.
It is such a good account. It's like, you know, there are and I think they did it, like, in other words, this is like a life, you know, light thing that you can go follow and you can go have fun with, just to take your mind off of the, you know, horrors and awful things that we're seeing in our world every single day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we all walk that line of, you need to have fun. You're a human being. You need to enjoy your life and watch comedies and have fun. But also, like, recognizing that we're at a pretty awful moment in the world's history. And it feels like, you know, incongruous to indulge in, like, laughing at Ben Simmons going fishing with, like, oh, there was a, you know, 100 COVID deaths in LA yesterday or whatever it is.
Yeah, you need balance in life. There's no question, for
and
sure.
This is like one of those accounts that's amazing to follow, because they really, I love how they curate it from all different sources, from Instagram stories and accounts, from Snapchat videos. I guess Hassan Whiteside is doing those.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to go through all those accounts, to curate stuff from all those accounts.
Yeah. We got a break, Momo, because we're up against it. Yep. We're beyond the break. But we have breaking news. Ooh. Are you ready for breaking news? You thought the news was good when we started the show. Now we've got the deal. The deal is going to be signed. The deal is going to be done. We will give you the details. Mookie Betts and the Dodgers in less than 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out. We've got news on Mookie Betts. We got more news. It's Mookie Betts Day. It's all presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, whether you're taking the trails or hanging out at your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. So, Mookie Betts, here's the deal. Ready? Jeff Passan is saying the estimated deal is supposed to look this way, Momo. Including 2020, the new deal is expected to keep Mookie Betts in a Dodgers uniform for 13 years at more than $380 million. So that includes this year. So in essence, it's a 12-year extension. And here's how that compares to other recent deals. Mike Trout, 12 for 430. Garrett Cole, 9 for 324. Manny Machado, 10 for 300. Bryce, 13 for 330. So how do you feel about this deal, and what, and we'll open up the phones, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. How many years out of this 13-year deal do you need for him to be great, for this deal to be successful?
So I like this deal more than I like the deal for Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Like it more than the deal for Garrett Cole. I don't like 9-year deals for pitchers.
For pitchers, no way. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Too many issues.
I think it's it's less than the deal for Trout. Right. Like, but that should be. I feel better about Mike Trout long term than I would Mookie, but not by much.
Better than Manny Machado, right?
Yeah, definitely better than Manny Machado, who was 10 for 300. I think that's in the range of all those guys. And here's what we learned, and this is where I'll take some NBA analysis to baseball. Like, there are a lot of guys that get max contracts, but the teams who win championships are the ones who have the right guys on max contracts. Like, there are plenty of players who are put up with the kind of numbers, are all-stars, et cetera, who get paid the same amount, but they're not all created the same. And it's, you know, in baseball, to me, there's this like mega deal club, you know, of players who are signed for somewhere between 9 and 13 years and making, you know, somewhere between 30 and 40 million a year. And you want to make sure that you invest in the right one. Like, they're not all created the same. As much as it would have been nice to have Bryce Harper, I would prefer Mookie Betts to him.
Yes, I agree.
I would. I think the only one of that group that I would prefer to Mookie would be Mike Trout. Only one.
Well, because he's the best player in the sport. And,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a guy in Mookie who is arguably the second best player in the sport.
Yeah.
So considering all that, it falls in line just fine, I think.
Yeah, and he's 27. So you're not paying for a lot of years that are theoretically past his prime. He's theoretically starting his prime right now. Isn't 27 supposed to be the start of your prime? So I think the first 5 years of this, you feel really good about it. The second, you know, the next 5 years, probably okay. I don't know about those last 3 years. I never think 13-year deals are good. It just seems like far too long.
Yeah. The look, I feel like if I was picking a number, and I'd love to hear from the audience at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If it's 13 years, right, and he's 27 years old, I think that you can easily get to 34, 35 and still be one of the best players in baseball, okay?
Yeah.
I think we've seen that fairly regularly, even in the post-steroid era. Mm-hmm. So I would say that for it to be an overwhelming success, this deal, it needs to be minimum 7, but I think 8 is the number that I want to see out of the 13 years where I feel like he is in the conversation for, you know, MVP race, basically, right? For the next 7 to 8 years, I think that's the number. I'm looking at 8 for it to be an overwhelming success. I think that has to be the number.
And what's interesting for the Dodgers now is they have succeeded the last few years with just, you know, a really good team. And last year, the emergence of Cody Bellinger gave them a true superstar. But they've won 7 straight titles without a true superstar. I mean, this was division titles. It really was just when Cody Bellinger came on last year that they had an unquestioned best player in the game type quality guy. Now they have 2.
Right.
Now they have Cody and Mookie, who are both seen as best top 5 players in the game. At any moment, that's, you know, you don't get that very often in baseball. Usually there's just a collection of really good, not 2 superstars in one outfield.
Yeah. The best hitters after the age of 35. You ready for the list?
All right. Is this all time or currently?
All time. Okay. All time. Slugging percentage. Number 1, Barry Bonds by a mile, right? You've got Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, David Ortiz at number 4, Andrés Galarraga at number 5, Hank Aaron at 6, Cy Williams at 7, Jim Thome at 8, Rafael Palmeiro 9, Edgar Martinez 10. So let's just remove Bonds, right, because of the allegations. Do you remove Ortiz or do you keep Ortiz? Do you buy Ortiz was potentially a PED guy or no?
Not really. I mean, he was always big, right?
Right, that's fine. That's fine.
Maybe he didn't.
Either way, Ortiz, Andrés Galarraga, Jim Thome, and Edgar Martinez. I'm removing Rafael Palmeiro from this discussion for now. But you've got 4 guys in the top 10 who were mostly modern day players, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it's not unprecedented to have a deal. Again, not the norm by any stretch of the imagination, but Mookie Betts, if you look at him, I also think the body matters, right? You look at Mookie Betts' body, he's not like this guy with bulging muscles popping out of his body. He's got what you would call, and I know it's going to sound super cliche, a baseball body, right? He's not super duper bulked up. He's lean and strong and got a great swing, great mechanics. And I think that that will serve him as this thing gets older, as he gets older and the contract matures, because he doesn't necessarily depend on bulging muscles or his physique. He depends on great mechanics to make contact with the ball.
Well, and the big question for both Mookie and Mike Trout as they age is what happens when they lose a step? Like, they're both very fast. Like, Mike Trout's unbelievable in terms of speed in the outfield and on the bases. Like, what happens when you're no longer that and you have to evolve into just more of a really good player and a situational base runner, right? Like, you're not a threat on the bases anymore. That's where you come down to, is this guy a key, like a great hitter? Can that evolve? Because hitting, if you are just a great hitter, if you can just settle in and you're not reliant on power, on speed, on that kind of, if you could just hit 300 every year, you can play until you're 40.
Yeah, you can play for a really, really long time. All right, coming up next, we're going to get to what you need to know and what would it take for you to miss your sister's wedding? One Laker had to answer that question. We'll get to all that coming up in less than 3 minutes.